Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Welcome to Mission Walks Live, another Messiah's Branch national satellite radio program. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is May 21st, 2015. Folks, with Mission Watch Live, we are warning the world as it happens. You know, if you need help with anything after this program, call me. If you need prayer, you can call me for that also. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. And with that, I give up my right to privacy, as people tell me, and I'll tell you, but I try to be here for you. So anyway, call me. You can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry radio program archives, and our mailing address, which is at our blog, just simply called prophecyhour.com. Now, prophecyhour.com is really smartphone friendly, but there's also a thing, so when you first get there, it would be the first thing I think that shows up on the smartphone or on the right-hand side of the screen, and it's a little icon that says End Time Radio Archives. You click on that and link to it. It'll take you to branch.podomatic.com. Now, that place is even more smartphone-friendly, and in fact, it has apps that they've just upgraded, and, you know, of course, you know, if you folks have smartphones, you know where to find apps at. They're on Google Play, and they have Android and Apple apps, but, you know, there are links on that website to find the apps for you for whatever kind of phone that you have. And so there's really easy ways to listen to Messiah's, to our Messiah's Branch radio programming at that archive site. But anyway, point being is share those radio programs with others and download the apps if you want. But you, now remember, you don't have to download an app to listen to the program. There's links that you can just press and click play, and it'll just stream to you. So make sure that you listen to the programs. Of course, you're listening now, or you wouldn't be hearing me, right? Okay, I guess I'm just happy today. Anyway, a prayer now. We'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will, nor my guest. And so please give everyone out there ears and wish to hear the truth tonight. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, amen and amen. And well, before we go into the program, I want to remind you all that this week, on the first day of the week, or this weekend, Sunday, is Shabbat, or and most people commonly call it Pentecost. Well, that's really the celebration of the giving of the Torah on Mount Sinai, or the Ten Commandments, but it is also a celebration of when the Holy Spirit descended on those in the upper room. So make sure that you pay attention to Shabbat this weekend, because it is one of the required feasts, and you should do it because you want to, not because of being forced to or anything else. You should do it because you love Messiah. Well, anyway, tonight's guest was on with us recently, and he had been on with us many times before in the past. We hadn't seen him in a few years. He wrote a book called The Day of the Lord is at Hand, and it's a really great book, and I think now it's in its seventh edition, if I'm correct with that. He can correct me if I'm not. No, there it is. There's in my call notes. It's in its seventh edition. But tonight we brought him back on to talk about a book that he has just written recently and it's called Search the Scriptures, volume, and we're going to talk about volume one. It's volume one and two, but this one's Out of the Darkness. And as I was reading this, you know, it hit me. This is the book that the body of Messiah needs, because, you know, a lot of the body of Messiah out there just isn't acting like the body of Messiah. And I know that problem is because of the modern world. And truthfully, they say, well, how would you know unless a preacher preach it to you? I'm not sure if you're getting it preached to you properly in the places that you're going to. And I'm not trying to down any church, because there's a lot of wonderful, strong churches out there. But there's a lot of people that are churches that are politically correct and so on and so forth, and are just not preaching the Word of God. In fact, I think some of them have lost the whole insight that Messiah is going to return within our age. Anyway, so let's welcome now Benjamin Baruch. Are you there with me, Ben?
Hello, Pastor Dan. How are you?
Well, I'm really pretty good, and I have to say that this is, you know what this book reminds me of? About the way back, and that had to have been a long time ago, when I first read Proverbs, and it does it, and it still does it to me to this day. You know, you start reading Proverbs, and it's like, oh, ouch, you know, because of all the pricks that it does to your spirit. And this book is just incredible. It really pokes, I think it'll really poke at the body of Messiah.
Well, praise God, brother. To those who have ears to hear, the Rhema word of God is coming forth from the heavens, because the Lord wants to prepare his remnant. Jesus told us in the letters to the churches in the book of Revelation, as many as I love, I rebuke. And the Lord brings his correction into our lives so that we would be ready, that we'd be able to stand in the time of testing that's coming. And, you know, if the Lord has, if he stopped correcting us, if he stopped bringing forth in effect a word that is a rebuke of the flesh nature and the sin nature that you know, most of us, if we're honest, have not completely overcome, if the Lord has stopped rebuking us, it's because we're already perfect, or because the Lord has literally turned us over. I mean, there are people, Dan, whom the Lord, he has nothing to say to them. They go the way that seems right in their eyes. And there are many of them on the wide road, convinced that they're going to one day walk with the Lord in paradise, only to find out they actually never knew him. But to the people who really know the Lord, the Lord's brought forth a word of really deliverance. And when I was working on the book, and the Lord brought this word forth, I, you know, this is not my book. I'm merely the person who typed these words, if you will. Amen. If you can believe such a thing, that the Holy Spirit still brings forth a rhema word from heaven. But the Lord spoke to me, and I've had the great privilege of hearing the voice of God. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said he was bringing forth this work as a pillar of righteousness that he was going to throw from the heavens to crush the head of the serpent in the lives of his people. And praise God, we belong to the Lord. The Lord intends to crush the head of the serpent in our life, because Jesus wants to set us free so that when the prince of this world comes in the dark days that are ahead of us, he would find nothing in us.
Amen? Amen. Most assuredly. And that's pretty profound words. You know, if you're not being pricked and you're not being corrected in some manner or not, you know, maybe it is just that the Father is done with you, because we're going to be corrected all our lives until Messiah gets here, because we are far, far, far from perfect. Amen.
Oh, hallelujah, brother. And, you know, praise God, when he begins a work, the Lord finishes it. He doesn't give up part way. So if the Lord's begun the good work in you, then the Lord's going to complete it. But we have to have the ears that hear. We've got to attend. And, you know, I'm working on Volume 3 of the Search the Scriptures series, and have finished the final, I guess, editing of all the little typos that can enter into a printed text. And just uploaded what will be the final version of Volume 2, You Shall Know the Truth. And, you know, as I'm going through these words, I get to read these books, and I've read each of them several times, and brother, they continue to blow me away. Volume 2, the first chapter is The Life of Job, the prophetic message in the trial of Job. And then the second part, that woman Jezebel, unveiling the spirit of Antichrist and the spirit of the false prophet that's at work within the house of God, unveiling it in this hour that we could come out of that deception. Then part three, Proverbs 30. And you mentioned the Proverbs. Solomon wrote the first 29 chapters of Proverbs, but Proverbs chapter 30 was written by another author, and it is a prophecy. And we're told as much in Proverbs 30 verse 1 that this is a prophetic message, and in fact, it's a prophecy of our generation. And so Proverbs 30 is unveiled, and it's absolutely amazing. It's pretty much a confirmation of the revelation of the truth and the unveiling of the lie, which is that woman Jezebel, that false spirit that's been trying to bring compromise and corruption into the holiness of the work of God. But then the fourth and final part of this book, Dan, is called The Narrow Way. And it contrasts the wide road and the narrow way. I mean, Jesus told us many would seek to enter the kingdom on the wide road, and they will not be allowed. And on that day, they're going to cry out, Lord, Lord, and Jesus is going to say, I never knew you. And only a few would find their way to life on the narrow way. Well, it's really important that we understand what is the difference between the narrow way and the people that are striving to enter by the straight gate and the many who sought to enter in but never did. Instead, they chose the wide road. And if I could just... Yeah. Share just a couple of sentences from this chapter, The Narrow Way.
Okay.
This pretty much captures...
Amen. I'd like to say just a brief something about The Narrow Way. You know, it's funny, I was doing some research for my next program that's going to be on tonight at 7, of course, but point is I was reading what a Christian pastor was saying. He was calling somebody's prophecy that had just basically said kind of the words that you said, that we needed to be on the narrow way. And he started calling the narrow way works, you know, that we didn't have to do anything. And, I mean, where do these preachers come from? I don't get it. You know, it's always there. It's a narrow path. It's not works to be good, you know. Amen.
It's not works, but, you know, there are requirements of us if we are to actually receive the salvation of God. We have to repent. If we don't repent and turn from our sin, we're never going to enter in. Now, you can call that a work. You can call it whatever you want. It's a requirement of the kingdom. The apostate and the compromise walk in licentiousness, in which they've turned the gospel of Jesus into a license to continue a lifestyle of sin, and that's nothing more than the apostasy. And if you want to call that works, you know, you call it whatever you want. I call it a lie from the pit of hell. The anointed, the saved remnant are being saved from their sin, and it's not that we become perfect, but if we have no progress spiritually, if we're the same people 10 years after we have so-called been born again as the people who before we were saved, then something's wrong in our walk with Jesus.
Amen. Yeah, amen. I totally agree with that. And I know so many people that are like that, you know, and I even have the homeless pointed out. They say, well, you know, Pastor Dan, how come when the people pull out of the parking lot on Sunday, they're just like everybody else in the world? Well, wait a minute. There's a definite problem if you're just like everybody else in the world, because you're supposed to be set apart and different. Amen.
Oh, hallelujah, brother. But, you know, we live in the time of the great falling away. One of the things that is clear in the scriptures is at the time of the end, there would be a great falling away, and the love of many would grow cold. There would be great deception in the land. The land would be filled with false prophets. The people would no longer endure sound doctrine. Rather, they would turn to pleasant and soft teachings, not wanting the rebuke or the correction of the Lord. They would gather around the false teachers and the false prophets, who would teach them things that would scratch their itching ears. And so today, okay, this is what's happened. We're in the fulfillment of these things. And yet there is a word of truth reserved for the remnant and for those who still have ears to hear, for people who still love the truth more than their own sin. They can tell and discern the word that's come from God, from the liars that have come among us, who many of them, the scripture tells us, deceived and being deceived, deceiving and being deceived. But those who've come with these false doctrines, many of them themselves are deceived. They don't know they're bearing the lie. Even as the Pharisees who protested and resisted Jesus thought they were standing for the truth of Moses while they opposed the King of Israel himself.
Yeah, amen. What? Let's hear about this narrow gate. I think the people need to hear it. We got about probably we got 6 minutes left for break.
Well, it is one of the most profound messages I've ever had the pleasure of reading. Jesus said, "Straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads to life, and few there be to find it." He also, "Few there be who will find it." So we were told only a few will find the straight gate. Jesus also told us, strive to enter the straight gate, for many will seek to enter, but will not be able. And notice the difference. The diligent strive to enter in, and that word means to agonize, to struggle, to compete, to endure, and to fight and labor fervently in order to enter in. The diligent give whatever is required. They don't look at the narrow way and say, well, if it doesn't require too much effort, maybe I'll give it a try. No, the righteous do whatever is required, and they don't stop until it's done. But notice the others. The slothful is who they are called in Scripture. They're counted among the wicked who never enter in, but they sought to enter in. Jesus said many will seek to enter in. The word for seek means to desire or to inquire. They were interested in entering in. They looked into it a little, and the thought occurred to them, maybe they might want to enter into the path of life. But that's about as far as it goes. I looked into that narrow way thing at one point, they say to themselves, and I thought about it. But compare that to those who are agonizing, and you'll find the difference between those who are being saved and those who will perish on that day. The many to whom the Lord is going to say, I never knew you, they thought about entering in, and they thought they knew him, but they thought wrong. The ones that really know the Lord are the ones who are agonizing and striving after the things of the kingdom, and they do so with all their hearts.
Yeah, amen.
Isn't that profound?
That's how do we know?
Which camp are we? The straight and narrow gate is a place of contest. It's a place of a fight. It's where we enter into the battle. The Lord told us to enter by that straight gate, and only a few will find it. The kingdom suffers violence. There's a battle that occurs between the nature of our flesh, which, let's face it, our flesh is in love with the world, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it would prefer to stay in Babylon. It loves living in Sodom. And the question is, who's going to rule and reign in us? Is it our flesh or is it our spirit, man?
Yeah, amen. I agree. You can see it all around you. Otherwise, where are the voices screaming about all the persecuting? With the way the women dress, have you seen them? So the way some women even dress going into churches, it's just obscene. Obscene, brother.
Well, they're like daughters of Jezebel. They dress dress for the role of the harlot. The scripture is very clear. Women should dress modestly. Not only in the house of God, but Christian women should adorn themselves modestly, not like the harlots of this last day.
Yeah, amen. But they don't, and it's so broad out there. That's why I wonder, you know, what is being preached in the houses. I guess you could stand outside and look at the people that are going in to know what's being preached inside. What do you think?
Well, I think we are in a time where the truth of God is now found in the wilderness. And I look back to things the Lord said to me, and I've heard the audible voice of the Lord. I remember in the 1970s when he came and he asked me to pray for babies that were being murdered in America, and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why don't you just get your church to pray? Why do you ask me to pray? And the Lord said to me, I've asked my church to pray, and they won't pray. And I said, Lord, what's wrong with your church? And the Lord wouldn't answer me in that hour. He said, I just want you to pray. But in the years that have followed, the Lord has revealed much about what's wrong with the church. And in Volume 1, Out of the Darkness, Dan, that chapter on dark counsel and then the
yes.
chapter on the ministry of death unveil much of what's wrong with the church. And then in the Volume 2, You Shall Know the Truth, the chapter on that woman Jezebel brings the rest of the story forward. The church has fallen away. The church is backslidden. The Lord has left the building. He's written
yeah.
Ichabod all over the front door. In most assemblies, the Lord no longer comes. Instead, a man stands up speaking out of his own knowledge. And every Sunday, people gather together in churches that are nothing more than the congregations of the dead. They've got Bibles in their church pews. I'll read just the first paragraph of Ministry of Death. The congregation of the dead has Bibles in their church pews, and they gather together every Sunday to hear a man preach out of his carnal mind teachings which have come forth as fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The apostate ones listen intently to the deceivers who've come among them, trusting in a salvation based on the doctrines of devils, all the while believing they're following the scriptures. Their teachers are modern-day Pharisees who believe they found salvation through their knowledge of the Word of God, while their hearts remain hardened in the deceitfulness of sin, and the understanding of their minds has been blinded by the pride of flesh within. And their ministry was appointed as the only portion given unto a people who are found within the congregation of the dead. These are the many on that day. They're going to say, Lord, Lord. And Jesus is going to say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. So the men that challenge the truth of real salvation, which is sanctification, and they say, well, that's works. Well, those men themselves are workers of iniquity. We're all
yeah,
doing
amen.
Some kind of work.
I got to break in. We got 30 seconds before break time, and I noticed you have done some work at your website. Why don't you tell them where your website is, and they can clearly see the books. So tell them where it's at. We'll go to break, and we'll come back and talk.
All right. It's Benjamin Baruch, Baruch, and .net is the main site. Some people would use .com. It just redirects you to BenjaminBaruch.net.
Okay, folks, and wherever you're listening to this, if you're listening to it in the archives on my page or whatever, there will be a link to this. So we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System. Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific. Unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886. American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Mission Watch Live on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, I always ask for you right now to pray about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. And we do really need your support because it's only people like you that have supported us for 15 years that has allowed us to stay open. Why is that? Well, it's like this. You know, it's because the poor, you know, they can't support what we're doing. We're taking care of people that are barely keeping roofs on over their head, women and children and all these different things. They don't have the money to support us. But, you know, folks like you do, you know. And so we're just asked that you pray about a donation. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, you guys are always struggling. You seem like you're always struggling. Let me say this. I see our ministry as a huge success in the Father's work in this manner. You have to consider that we've been doing this for 15 years. I'm not by any means a rich man. By what we have did, we have helped thousands upon thousands of people. So many people have received miracle prayers, healing, have received the gospel, have received Bibles, have received food, clothing, so on and so forth. The list just goes on and on and on. And not in any means to brag, but even the police department recently said that I was a legend. But I'm not a legend. The ministry's a legend. And the ministry belongs to the Father. I'm just a person that does it. And so, yeah, we spend down to the last dime in our pocket to help people. So I consider that his ministry, the Father's Little Mission Church, is a great success. Stayed open for 15 years continually. And I can't count how many times that I leave here and I don't really have the money to do the things that are needed to do. And I just go on by faith, step out in faith and go to the mission church, which is 60 miles from our home, 120 miles round trip. We go over there and we take care of the need, you know, and I don't know why I've tried everything in the world. Well, maybe not everything in the world, but I've tried and tried to try to get support from Wichita to help us in this, or people in Wichita. And really, well, now I've gained a few supporters. I think they're people that listen to me on radio in Wichita. Mostly, we don't get a lot of support from Wichita. We do have a Messianic church that has been bringing us eggs, amen, because we serve egg sandwiches from 1 to 3 o'clock. And so we have a minister from that Messianic church that brings us eggs, and his dad, which isn't Messianic, which belongs to another church group, he brings us eggs in the evening, so we get it both from the same family. Point being is, though, we don't get much support from Wichita. And I know, though, you folks out there in Wichita, I'm glad to see from my statistics that you, actually the folks that listen in Wichita, according to the archives, you know, to the podcast downloads, you're the largest audience that I have. And while people listen all over the world, and we can see where at, and people in Dallas, people in Beijing, China, and all kinds of places listen, but you folks in Wichita are the largest group of listeners. And you would think that by being the largest group of listeners, that would be my largest group of supporters, especially when we're doing these things in your city. I'm not downing it. I appreciate that you're listening to programs. I ask that if you can't afford to donate anything, pray for us. Lift us up. Lift up your city for what we're doing. Anyway, we are folks all responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. And you know what? All donations, no matter what size, does help. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. And that's prophecyhour.com. And remember, folks, this weekend, Sunday, is Pentecost. And now we're back with Benjamin Baruch, and we're talking about his books called Search the Scriptures. Are you there with me, Ben?
I'm here.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. So now, going into the second part of this program, where do you want to take us now?
Well, I'm just so excited that you reminded everybody that the Feast of Weeks is ending this week, the last of the 49 days of counting out the Omer from the Sabbath following Passover, counting out 50 days to what the Gentiles call Pentecost. And this is a time of preparing ourselves for the visitation of God. And this was the time, this last 10-day period was the time that the disciples gathered in the upper room after Jesus had ascended back into heaven. And they fasted and prayed and waited on the Lord for 10 days. And on the day of Pentecost, this Sunday, being the same date, the Holy Spirit fell from heaven. And praise God, you know, we need to be of like mind today. And, you know, it is high time that we begin to really return to the Lord with all of our hearts, because this is a generation that really has backslidden en masse. We've all fallen from the truth. Now, some may not believe that or may not want to receive that. There's a lot of what I call denial theology that's crept into the church, and there's a lot of people who've confused pretense with faith. There's a lot of deception that's come in, and people have chosen to believe in these things that are not even real, and they place their faith in them. And it really becomes a place, a stronghold of deception, because if our faith is in things that are not true, you know, what fruit and what benefit is there for us having chosen a covering that is not real? It's not going to cover us from what's coming. We need to get honest with ourselves. We need to get honest with the Lord. We need to return to our first love. And you know, the Scripture says, and it's very clear in the Word of God, the Scripture says, he who gives to the poor is making a loan to the Lord. God promises to repay people who give to help the poor, Dan. And so it's not even going to cost you anything. All you have to do is trust the Lord that he's a God who keeps his word. And those of us who know the Lord, of course he keeps his word. He's The Lord watches over His Word. He honors His Word. He keeps His Word every day. And so to reach out and to bless ministries such as yours, which has done so much, I've been aware of your work over the many years in ministering to people that have been brought to the end of themselves, and now they need help, and particularly the widows and orphans. We were commanded in the Word of God. And we don't have a choice in this matter. The Lord commanded us to help those who could not help themselves. And in so doing, the Lord said, and when you do give unto the poor, you're lending to me. God Himself says, I'm going to pay you back. And you know what's amazing, Dan? The Lord actually pays you back twice.
Yeah,
you can pay back in this life. It doesn't cost you a dime to help the poor. The Lord turns around and blesses you, and He restores that wealth into your pocket. But God blesses you again in eternity. So, you know, believing and trusting the Lord and obeying God is the wisest thing we could do. But, you know, our carnal mind, we think if we just hold on to those last few dollars, you know, somehow that American money is somehow going to deliver us. And, you know, the money matters. It's not worthless confetti, at least not yet. But we really need to be prayerfully seeking the Lord on what He would call us to do, and not doing what seems right in our own eyes. So I would just encourage all the listeners, you know, if there are people that have been regular listeners and they've never blessed your ministry, and never given unto the to help the poor, never took the Lord up on His word, and never made a loan to God, this is a good time, because every other investment is going to fail. When this country goes down, and it's going down, it's not coming back. And, you know, the money that we've invested in Babylon America is going to be completely lost. And so, really, the only thing that you can even trust today is the Lord.
Yeah, amen.
So praise God. You know, the Lord, in promising to pay us back, Dan, He never promised to make us rich. He merely promised to pay us back. This whole prosperity gospel, this big pyramid scheme, is just one of the many deceptions in the church from Shinar, which are the plains of Babylon. You know, the Lord isn't running a pyramid scheme. God doesn't use gambling and the lottery to enrich the church. But the Lord did say, if you give to the poor, I will pay you back. And God's capable of keeping His word. He's got the power to do it, and He does.
Yeah, amen. And you pay you back in so many different ways. You don't, you know, it's such a blessing when you know, I help people, and then you see the thankfulness that comes from them, and they really care. I mean, you know, they know that we're for real. That's the difference. They know that we're different. We don't treat them like an agency or something, Ben. We treat them like, you know, we give them a relationship, and the relationship that we give them is one that connects them to God the Father. And you see these same people turn their lives around. You know, sometimes I'll go into maybe a hardware store. I went into Dillon's or a lumber yard, and I've had somebody come up to me and say, hey, aren't you Pastor Dan? And I go, yeah. And I turn around and look at this person, and they say, well, don't you remember me? And I go, well, no. And they say, well, I looked a lot different. Don't you remember you picked me up off the sidewalk when I was drunken, and I could have got hurt, but you picked me up, and you carried me into your church, and you fed me, and you prayed on me, and you gave me the word, and now I'm a different person. You know, and I want to thank you for that. And we run into those people all the time. And so that's huge. Nobody, I couldn't buy that blessing. You understand what I'm saying? That blessing that I got when that person told me that was such a great, and that's just the ones that I see. That's not all the ones that we've helped, but that's the Father's helping them. He miraculously is there for them, and we're just, I'm just thankful that He allowed me to serve Him. You know, there's the big deal. I was such a bad sinner, and He forgave me of my horrendous sins, and He gave me a new life and a promise to be with Him, and He allowed me to serve Him and in a capacity that, well, He walked among the poor, so why shouldn't I? Back to you.
Hallelujah. Well, you know, Jesus told us, whatsoever you do to the least of those who belong to me, you've done unto me. And so, you know, the Lord has saved every one of us. And if the truth be told, we were all wretched sinners. There's not a one of us that was good. Every one of us got saved by God's mercy and His grace. And the Lord, he paid the price for our salvation. And it was a very high price. The penalty of the cross and the physical suffering of the Lord is only a small part of the price that Jesus paid in dying for us, because he also took our sins upon himself. And he suffered spiritually more than he suffered physically. So the Lord stood in the gap for us. We needed his help, or we were going to go to hell for eternity. And so Jesus, he did something about it, and he ministered to us. He gave his life for us, that we could inherit his eternal life and receive his righteousness. And then he asked us to go and do something for those that are the least of his people. And Dan, what you're doing in reaching out with the gospel of Jesus and reaching out with a word of kindness and a word of encouragement, and also meeting the needs of people that are in desperate need of the help from heaven. As those people become saved and are born again and become the children of God, you've done that ministry under Jesus, brother. And how many of us, if we realized we had the opportunity to minister to the Lord, how many of us would pass that by? Say, well, no, I think I'd rather save my $3 and go buy another latte at Starbucks. Or I need this $10 for the popcorn and the Coke when I go to the movie theater for the entertainment of Babylon. I think I'll let the Lord just stay with his needs unmet. I mean, how ridiculous of us. After everything Jesus has done for us, we all owe him everything. We need to be praying about what the Lord would call us to do, because there's many in this hour that when this is all over and we're standing before the Lord, a lot of us are going to be a little bit embarrassed at all the opportunities that we ignored the tug of his Holy Spirit on our shoulder. But there's a remnant among us who their hearts were tender and soft, and when the Lord put it upon them, I need you to help this person for me, they did it as unto the Lord. And there's a great blessing in obeying the Lord. There's also a rebuke that's coming to a hard-hearted people who only thought of themselves. And you know, really, we need to come out of that mindset, and we need to repent. Jesus said in the book of Revelation, as many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. We need to repent, because this is a narcissistic generation. There's an epidemic of narcissism in the world, and it's even come within the church. People are only concerned about themselves. They're willing to spend all their money. Jesus told me, he said, most of my people spend all of their money and all of their time pleasing themselves. If they have anything left over, he said, then maybe they'll bring an offering to me. But that's not how we should be treating the Lord. Not at all. What king is going to be happy with last place in our life? Not a one. And certainly not the King of Kings.
Amen. We're supposed to bring our first and our best to present it before the King, not the last and the worst. You know, that goes clear back to Genesis, you know. We need to give our best to him. And, you know, what else I tell Ben, I see, is that, you know, we're talking about a time when America falls apart. You know, there are so many of these people that are, just because they're poor doesn't mean they're saved. They're not saved. They are. In fact, the Bible talks about that he gave inheritance to the poor of the world. And so when this world falls apart, and they have nothing, and they're used to having everything, and they look to those that are surviving, and they go, well, I need help. Well, why should they, you know, give them help when they didn't help them? Why will the Father give them help when he didn't help his people in their time of need? So, you know, I'm not saying they won't be saved, but they're going to have a tough time of it. Back to you.
Well, we reap what we sow, and if we sow sparingly, we're going to reap sparingly. And if we sow bountifully to the things of the Spirit, the Lord's going to reward us with a bountiful harvest. And, you know, to the diligent belongs the kingdom. And to the slothful, and to those who are lackadaisical about the things of God, belongs the rebuke of the King. You know, this is an hour when the Lord is about to begin his strange work. He's going to bring to pass his strange act. And the hypocrites are going to be suddenly afraid. And the compromised and the apostate are going to become terrified. But the people who put the Lord first, the people in whose hearts the Lord was number one in their lives. The Lord is going to deliver them. He said so in Scripture. I will save them as a father saves the sons and daughters who labor for him. And Jesus is going to be in control of everything. He already is. We don't see it because of the hiding of his power. But in the judgment that's about to begin, the Lord is going to be in total control. And so whatever happens to us is going to be by the commandment of the Lord. And if the Lord commands your deliverance, then you will be delivered. And if the Lord chooses to purify you in the fire, then in the fire you go. But we're told the answer of, you know, where are we going? The answer is very clear. It's in the book of Revelation. Whosoever leads into captivity must go into captivity. And so if our lifestyle and our behavior, our example, the words in our lips, if we are leading other people into the captivity of compromise because we ourselves are walking, talking examples of compromise, then we punched our ticket for the persecution that's coming. I call it the Repentance Rehabilitation Workshop. But it would be far wiser of us to hear the voice crying from heaven and to respond. You know, and as Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar, after the judgment was decreed and God had revealed that Nebuchadnezzar was going to be judged and cut down as a great tree and he was going to literally suffer 7 years of judgment, Daniel counseled Nebuchadnezzar and he said, "Oh king, you know, break off your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. And turn from your unrighteous deeds and do what's right in the eyes of the God of heaven, and perhaps there'll be a lengthening of your days." The same thing's true today to a compromised and backslidden church. We can break off the iniquity of all of our foolish, self-centered choices in this life by showing mercy to the poor. And we could perhaps turn the tide of what's coming in our lives if we would at this final hour, turn away from all this ungodliness and return to the Lord with all of our heart. And then perhaps the Lord would hide us in the day of his judgment, which is about to begin. But unto each of us, we're going to do what's right in our own eyes. You know, by prayer, your eyes have light and not darkness in them. But, you know, Dan, I had the same experience when I was on national radio. I had a ministry for about 12 months, and we were on 12 of the largest cities in America, and that we were on prime time Christian, the largest Christian station. We were on Sunday afternoon, the time slots right as people were getting out of church, and the radio time was $8,500 a month for the 12 cities.
Wow.
And we were asking the listeners, you know, pray about sending in support to help with the radio time. The most we ever got was $150 in 1 month out of 12 cities. And we had millions of people who could have listened. Now, perhaps they all turned us off because we weren't telling them pleasant things. We were calling on the church to repent, and perhaps they didn't want to hear the truth. So they just turned us off. But at the same time, there were many, many listeners who simply just disregarded the fact that God needs somebody to stand in the gap and pray. God needs somebody to give to help reach the poor. The Lord needs somebody who's going to stand up and actually do something. But the slothful and the sluggards, they don't want to do anything. The diligent are doing all the work. 20% of the people in the kingdom do all of the work. 80% do nothing other than listen. And when the Lord finally returns and we all stand before him and give an account before the Lord for what we did and with what he gave us in our lives, he's not going to be really pleased that the people who did nothing, they just hid their head in the sand and they buried his money. I buried your gold, Lord. When the Lord comes back, they can dig up the gold and they can say, I've got all your gold. And they're going to receive a rebuke from the king. But the people that went out and got the sheep, when the Lord comes back, they can say, Lord, I went and gathered as many of your sheep as I could. They're going to receive a reward from the king. So what is it we're going to trust in? Our gold? Will our silver and gold deliver us in this hour? Don't be ridiculous. The scripture says your gold shall be removed. They're going to take it from you before this is over. And then it also says your silver will be thrown in the street. So it's up to us to decide. What are we going to believe?
Yeah.
But we better choose well, because these days that are coming are real, and they are nigh upon us.
Yeah, amen. Well spoken, brother. Well spoken. And, you know, that's, and not to take off the subject, but go back on the original subject. That's what these books are about. And I want to address the folks a minute. Folks, these two books, Search the Scriptures, Volume 1 and 2, and I guess there's going to be four. Is that what you're saying, Ben?
No, there's going to be seven of them.
Oh, there's going to be seven of them. Wow.
Yeah.
And I really love the first two. I can't wait to read the rest. But, folks, you need to, these are books that you need to get for this hour and pass around. And you even have some of these messages on YouTube. I'm looking for right now. On your website, you've got links to YouTube about them.
Yeah, the books are the written reduction of a series of teachings which came forth by the Holy Spirit. The chapters of these books are actually based on audio teachings that are already online on YouTube or on various sites. And so for people that either can't read, don't have the patience to read, or would prefer to listen to an audio message, everything's already up on the Internet. And if you want to spend 300 hours, which is about how much content is out there, you can get everything in audio format. And the books are also available in Kindle for less than the price of a cup of coffee. And so this word is being provided to you for virtually free. Even the paper copies are very, very inexpensive. And I can tell you, we don't have any profit in this work. The amount of money spent to bring the books forward is far in excess of whatever we receive from you buying them. And, you know, it's a small token just to continue the work. But absolutely, if you can afford a paper copy, buy one and give it to your friends, give it to your family, because these books are setting people free. And if I would encourage our listeners, go on Amazon.com, type in my name, Benjamin Baruch, and you'll see the works that are out there. And then go read the reviews from people that have already read the books. People are writing me letters, and Dan, they're telling me, I read this book, it changed my life. And how many times do you read a book and find that it changes your life?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I mean, we need our lives changed in this hour.
Yeah. Well, we got to go. So tell them your website one more time, Ben, and I'm sure you'll come back on again and talk. And it's been a blessing.
Well, thank you for the invitation. The website is Benjamin Baruch, BARUCH.net, and or go on Amazon and just type in my name, Benjamin Baruch, and go to YouTube, type my name in, and you'll find all of the audio content. And praise God, you guys be praying diligently for Pastor Dan's ministry. Remember me in your prayers. And get ready, because summer's coming.
Yeah.
And
amen.
We need to have our houses clean by the end of this summer. And it really is going to matter this time.
All right. We'll be blessed, brother. I've got to go.
All right,
folks. Brother. That was Benjamin Baruch. Go check his stuff out on his website. There will be a link wherever you listen to this in radio archives, at least at our sites. Remember, there are radio archives at AmericanVoiceRadio.com. Please pray about support our mission, church. We really do need your help. And Wichita, we love you folks out there. Otherwise, we wouldn't be in your city. Thanks for listening, all of you, no matter where you're at in the world, because we are an international radio ministry because of the Internet, but we're also on satellite. Again, pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. Always be a blessing to others. And remember that there is only one God, and that's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, and only through him. Only through him is the way to the Father. Remember to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul. Then love your neighbor as yourself. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.